Let us worship the Lord in the singing of the Psalm 126, the Psalm 126. When giants' bondage God turned back, as men that dream were we, and filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. Psalm 126, we'll stand as we worship the Lord together. Presence, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we worship Thee this morning. We bow in Thy holy presence. We seek Thy face for Thy blessing. And from the outset of this service to its conclusion, that Thou wilt be one of our number this morning, that Thy presence will fill this house, that we will know the nearness and the power and the help and the grace of God, that we will know that strength and unction in the preaching of Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt endue us with power, that Thou wilt fill us with the Holy Spirit, that, O God, Thy gracious hand of blessing will be upon us, that we will know the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ as we preach Thy holy word today. We pray for blessing upon our people as they gather. We pray that Thou wilt encourage each heart, that Thou wilt build up Thy people in their holy faith, that Thou wilt give to each one a closer walk and communion and fellowship with Thee, that we will know the sweetness and the nearness of Thy presence. Thank You for all that Thou hast been to us in the week that has passed. We thank Thee for Thy preservation, Thy protection. We thank Thee for Thy provision. We thank Thee for every good and perfect gift which Thou hast so liberally and graciously given to us. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt come and meet with us today around Thy word. As we hear the word of God, may our hearts be challenged, encouraged, and built up, that we will have that closer communion and fellowship with Thee as Thy people. Pray for those who are unsaved, that Thou wilt bring them into Christ today. They may experience the grace and the salvation of God. Remember across our land, O God, in all our sister congregations, pour out Thy Spirit, we pray. Grant that there may be a visitation of God upon us. And Lord, that we might see God's hand at work in the salvation of precious souls. Thank You for the missions that are in progress, those that are continuing. Even at this time, we pray for those that have concluded. We pray that the word that has been sown will reap a harvest. Thank You for those who have come to Christ, those that have been restored. We pray for greater things in the days that lie ahead. Bless the missionaries too, to the uttermost parts of the world. Bless thy word as it goes forth, we pray. And grant that many souls across this world will be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer prayer for the sick amongst us too, the sorrowing. We pray for thy touch upon those that are laid aside in the hospital and at home. We pray that thou wilt restore them, if it is your will, to health and strength. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Hymn number 557, we will stand as we sing together the words of this hymn. 557 in the hymn book. When you feel weakest, danger surrounds, subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad. All is despairing, even time sad. Number 557, we will stand as we worship the Lord together.
Oh. the Word of God this morning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. I'm reading together from this portion of God's Word. In verse 17 of Acts chapter 5. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. And came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom we put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay him. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. What ye intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts. Now, boys and girls, we see if you are listening during the past number of weeks, because we have got the bag with us this morning, and we've got the goodies in the bag, and we're thinking about the story of the rich young ruler, how he came to Jesus and how he bowed down before the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll remember the story, boys and girls, and how he asked the Lord Jesus how he could get eternal life, and what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him about the commandments and all of these things. And of course, he went away from Jesus. He went away sorrowful. But he had great possessions, And the Lord said, how hard it is, if you've got riches, to enter into the kingdom of God. It's like a camel trying to get through the eye of a needle. You ever see the size of a camel, boys and girls? And how could a camel get through the eye of a needle? With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, so we close that off, boys and girls, this morning. And we will give you the quiz now. Right. Who was the man who came and bowed down before the Lord Jesus Christ? Who was that man? What does the Bible tell us about him? What was his name? It doesn't tell us his name now, but it tells us he was something. Yes? A rich young ruler, Faith. Right, you come down, you can get a wee packet here. Now, what question did he ask Jesus? What question did he ask Jesus? Did he ask Jesus a question? What was the question he asked? What did he ask him? Yes. Yes, what shall I do to have eternal life? Okay, good. Right, come on up here and get a wee prize, Lucy. Right. Now, Jesus asked him a question. What was it? Okay, he asked him a question. What did Jesus ask the man? He asked the man a question. What was it, the question he asked him? Yes? Yes, that's one of the questions. That's another one that I didn't deal with, but come on up. You deserve one for that as well. Why callest thou me good? That was one I didn't even mention. So there you are. You must have been reading it, Josh. Okay. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. Now, there was another question I was thinking about. The Lord asked him. About what? Yes, Ollie. You can answer. About the commandments. That's right. Come on down. You get a prize too. About the commandments. Now, what was his answer to that? What did he answer when the Lord asked him that question? What did the Lord answer? I think Ollie's coming. I can hear him coming down the stairs. Two at a time. Yes, go ahead. Yes, Ollie, here you are. Good boy. Yes, come on ahead. Yes, come on, you've got it. Yes. Now, what was these commandments he had kept? What were these commandments about? They're about something about... What were they about? Relating to who? Did they relate to him, or did they relate to others, or did they relate to God? Okay, there you are. Yes? Yes, that's right. Yes, other people. That's right. Okay, good man, Micah. Here you are. Okay. Now, the Lord told him, how many things did he lack? How many things did he lack? Was it five things he lacked? How many things did he lack? Many things did he lack? Pardon? One thing. That's it. Come on. You deserve a prize too. One thing. One thing he lacked. And what did he need to do, boys and girls? He needed to go away and do something. What did he need to go away and do? Anybody know that? Yes? Sell his possessions. Come on ahead. Yes, you deserve a prize as well. Sell his possessions and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, what did he do then? What did the man do? Okay. Thank you. There's the man himself. Okay. What did he do? Yes. Somebody hasn't answered now. What did he do? Somebody hasn't answered. Well, Lucy, you may have another go. You're going to get two. He went away sad. That's it. He went away from Jesus, right? Now, how hard is it for people to be saved? The rich people. Rich people. How hard is it? Remember we said something this morning there? It's like something to get through something else. What is it? Yes, Micah? Yes, come on ahead. You get a second one as well. Camel trying to get through
have a needle. But it's not impossible, you see, for rich people to be saved, because with God all things are possible. Now we're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls, this morning. Okay? Now, he made the stars to shine. Now, it's a different one this morning. So we want you to do the actions, and we'll sing it through twice. Okay. Of course, you will know this past week has been a very special week for somebody in our church, and a very special week for Emma, Emma Carlisle. And we're going to show you just, you may be seeing it when we come in, because we have in our midst a gold Olympian. Isn't that amazing for Ballygowan? So, Emma, have you got your medals with you? Right, you're going to come down here this morning, and we want to congratulate Emma on her great achievement, because she not only, I thought it was good the first week when I heard from her mummy that she had won a bronze medal. That was fantastic. But then when I got the news this week that she'd won a gold medal, I thought that's doubly fantastic. And so we want to congratulate Emma this morning. Here is the bronze and here is the gold. Fantastic, Emma. And I'm sure afterwards, if you want a photograph with Emma, you're having a photograph of somebody who's very famous. But we want to say to Emma, and now, Emma, we have got something for you next week, something that you really like, something that you'll really be enjoying. What would you really like to eat?
Chocolate bars.
Well, we're going to have a very special chocolate cake for you next week. Okay. So you'll really enjoy that. And we're going to sing your hymn. What is your hymn that you love to sing?
Do you know One Day in Heaven?
One Day in Heaven, right. Can we sing that one? Can we sing a verse or two of it? Right. What number is it, Heather, just to get the number here? And we'll sing a verse or two of this hymn for Emma this morning. Because Emma loves to sing, and she loves to sing hymns. And we want to... 97. I know you have lots of favourites, but we'll sing 97. We'll sing a few verses of it this morning. And want to give God thanks because, you know, I was thinking this week about the many times in the Bible games are mentioned. In fact, in the New Testament, a colleague was sharing this with me, a man who's a mine of information about these things. And you'll know who I'm talking about, Dr. Johnson. He told me about the many references there were in the New Testament to sporting games. Now, I can't even remember this morning how many there are, but there's a lot of references in the Bible to sporting games. And so, Emma, you're in good ground. You've been involved in sport in the right context. Now, we're going to sing a few verses of this hymn just for Emma. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, and the first three verses, we'll stand and sing this number 97 for Emma this morning. One day when heaven...
achievement, and we want to further recognize that God willing next Sunday night. So do remember that as well at the refreshment time next Sunday night. We do welcome you in the Lord's name to our service this morning, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you've come into our midst this morning. Could I just mention some announcements at this stage of the service? Tonight we have the time of prayer at 6:30. We encourage God's people to pray as we get near the mission. We are conscious of the great burden that's on our hearts for prayer for the mission at 6:30. And tonight the subject is Death on St. Patrick's Night, a Valley of Tears. And as we preached last Sunday night, seven young people passed out into God's eternity. Three at that thing in Cookstown, two other men, another man knocked down, a young woman found in Carriford Lock. Seven young people launched out into eternity. It's a very solemn and somber thing, and we're going to speak on that tonight in the gospel. We trust that you'll come back and support the evening service. We could be doing with more support in our evening service, and we trust that you will come tonight at 7 o'clock and support us in the gospel. And then Monday night, the final night is parents' night for the Awana. Do remember that, please. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And it's the final night of Brother Kyle Boyd will be speaking, the prize giving, and you're encouraged to come and support. The children have raised a sum of money for the work in Uganda, and we want to thank all who contributed to that as well, and that will be available tomorrow night, handed out tomorrow night as well. So please remember that tomorrow night, the little sunbeams at the usual time tomorrow morning. Tuesday night, the final night of the children's meeting. Again, I'd like to thank all who've been helping in these aspects of the work in Awana, the children's meeting, through this session. And as we come to the final meetings, we trust that the Lord will bless again Tuesday night at 7 to 7:45. And then at 8 o'clock, we're praying for our families and praying for the gospel mission. I will be along to lead the prayer meeting to give the Bible study on Tuesday evening. We encourage you to come to pray. In relation to the gospel mission, we're looking for people to give out the invites, if you can help. There's a list there on the table. The invites are available. And do please put your name down. If you can do certain areas, indicate what areas you're doing so that they're not done twice. And we'd appreciate any help we can get to cover as much area as we possibly can. There are people maybe available to do things during the day, so forth, from Wednesday onward. We don't want them given out before Wednesday. It may seem funny, but we want to get nearer the mission. And so this Wednesday is the time we want to start, and then following on from that. And do please help us if you can. If you can do areas or a number of areas, you're helpful. That's helpful to us. And do also remember our brother Noel Shields as he comes next week from the 1st of April to do concentrated door-to-door outreach. Pray for that as well. Pray for the mission from the 7th to the 14th of April with Reverend Higginson. There's a list of door duties for the men as well. Please, if you can sign up for that, you can help out. Any of the nights of the mission, seven nights, we're asking God's people to give of their time to make the arrangements necessary. This is for eternity. This is not for time. This is for eternity, men and women. And so we need, as God's people, to put our hand to the gospel plow during this mission and give ourselves to it. Please remember that and help us in any way you can. And then the Hollymount meeting this afternoon, 2:30, remember that as well as the word goes forth there. And then on Friday night, the young people are to meet immediately after the service in the church hall this morning for details, learn details for Friday night. So please, young people, remember that after the service, go to the church hall, get the details for Friday night. Next Lord's Day marks the 40th anniversary of my ordination to the ministry of the gospel. I will be preaching in the morning time, and do remember the communion service at the conclusion of that service as well. In the evening time, it is a special family and friends night to mark this anniversary, and our brother Dr. Greenfield will be speaking, Dr. Barnes, and our brother Reverend Jim Harton, others will be taking part in that service, Sister Natasha, Reverend Greenfield singing as well. Do please remember that special service. We give thanks to the Lord for all his goodness. We are humbled to think that we reached 40 years in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for all of that. The refreshments afterwards provided by Group 1. I think these are all the announcements. Other items are on the notice board or will be placed there for your attention. We're going to join together in the singing of the hymn number 564, keeping our seats as the offerings for the Lord's work are received. 564, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. 564 and page 404, keeping our seats as we sing. Gracious God and loving Father, we come to Thee and pray for Thy blessing upon us in the closing moments of this service. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We continue to consider the Acts of the Apostles, and we're in chapter 5 this morning. The Holy Spirit at work in the Acts of the Apostles. And the theme this morning is proclaiming the truth and the responses. Proclaiming the truth and the responses. We have seen how right up to now, in the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, how the Holy Spirit was poured out. And as a result, the message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ spread rapidly in Jerusalem. As that Spirit-empowered witness was going forth, the lost were reached with the gospel of Christ. And great things were done. And no one could deny that God was at work in a new way among His ancient people. Of course, not everyone was happy with the success of the church, the religious establishment that had opposed the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was upon this earth and then crucified Him, took the same hostile approach toward the apostles. If they had persecuted me,
They will also persecute you, said Jesus. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these words were beginning to be fulfilled as far as the apostles were concerned. It was the age-old conflict between the living truth and dead tradition. Hugh Latimer said, whenever you see persecution, there is more than a probability that truth is on the persecuted side. And so this morning we want to think about proclaiming the truth and the responses. First of all, I want you to see here in this portion of Scripture the hostility to the truth. Verses 17 to 28. The high priest and his associates had three reasons for arresting the apostles and bringing them to trial. For a start, Peter and John had not obeyed the official orders to stop preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not to speak in his name according to chapter 4, verse 18. They were guilty of defying the law of the nation. Chapter 4, verses 19 to 20. Furthermore, the witness of the church was refuting the doctrines held by the Sadducees, giving every evidence that Jesus Christ was alive. And of course the Sadducees deny the resurrection. And thirdly, the religious leaders were filled with envy. We see here in chapter 5, verse 17, the word indignation is used, which can be rendered envy. They were envious at the great success of these untrained and unauthorized men. You see, my friends, the traditions of the fathers had not attracted that much attention or gained that many followers in such a short time. It's amazing how much envy can be hidden under the disguise of defending the faith. The apostles did not resist, arrest, or organize a public protest. They quietly went with the temple guard and actually spent a few hours in the public jail. But as we've read this morning, verse 19, the angel of the Lord set them free and told them to return to their witnessing in the temple, verse 20. In the book of the Acts, you will notice several instances of angelic ministry as God cared for his people. Chapter 8, verse 26. There's an angelic ministry there. Chapter 10 of Acts, verses 3 and 7 again. Chapter 12, of course, in relation to Peter. Chapter 27, verse 23 again. The angel, the ministry of angels are mentioned. The angels are servants or messengers who minister to us as we serve the Lord. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. And as in Peter's deliverance in Acts 12, the guards or the leaders here knew that the prisoners had been liberated. You're tempted to smile as you imagine the surprised looks on the faces of the guards when they discovered that their most important prisoners were gone. Just imagine, too, the astonishment of those envious members of the Sanhedrin when they heard the report that these servants of God, whom they hated so much, were gone from the prison. Here they were trying to stop the miracles, but their actions only multiplied the miracles. And God brought these men out of prison to continue their witness for Christ. What a contrast
between the apostles and the members of the council. You see, the council were educated and approved men, yet they had no ministry of power. Their ministry was the dead letter of the law. The letter killeth. It is the Spirit that giveth life. The apostles were just ordinary men, but they had God's power. They had the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. And the council were trying desperately to protect themselves and their dead traditions, while the apostles were risking their lives to share the living Word of God. This dynamic New Testament church were enjoying the new, while the dead council of the Sanhedrin were defending the old. You'll find in this section of God's Word, there's a variety of emotions. Verse 17, there's this indignation or envy. Verse 24, there's this bewilderment and fear in verse 26. Yet when the apostles came in, the high priest boldly accused them of defying the law and causing trouble in verse 28. But as they did so, they would not even use the name of Jesus Christ. They said instead, this name. Look at the words of Scripture there, verse 28. Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. He wouldn't even use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even this hateful indictment was an admission that the church was increasing, that God was working. The job was being done. The cause of Christ was being furthered. The wrath of man was bringing praise to the Lord. The high priest realized that if the apostles were right, then the Jewish leaders had been wrong in condemning the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, if the apostles were right, then the council was guilty of his blood. As the trial progressed, the apostles became the judges and the council became the accused. You see, God was turning the tables on the enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was turning the whole situation round for His glory, for His praise, and for His honor. My dear friends, God is in control of all the affairs that happen in this world, of all the opposition that is exerted against the church of Jesus Christ today. Fear not, for like the apostles, we are on the winning side this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we see here, not only in this portion of Scripture, the hostility to the truth, but we see the holding to the truth. In verses 29 to 32, the apostles stood steadfast in what they believed. You see, we live in an age of compromise today. We live in an age when people want the gospel to be watered down. They want the gospel to be diluted. They want some kind of milk and water gospel, some kind of take it or leave it gospel, some kind of passport to heaven gospel. But there's nothing to it, no depth, no real meaning. But the apostles stood steadfast to their convictions. They obeyed God, and they trusted God to take care of the consequences. They could not serve two masters. They had already declared whose side they were on. They firmly stood for the Lord, and He honored their courage and faith. Neither did they change their message. Look at the words here of verses 30 to 32. You discover that the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Peter indicted the leaders for the death of Jesus. In chapter 3 of Acts, in chapter 4, and boldly affirmed once again that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. Not only was he raised from the dead, but he was exalted by God in heaven. The work of the Holy Spirit in recent days was evidence that Jesus had returned to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit as he had promised. The Sadducees certainly did not rejoice to hear the apostles speak about the resurrection from the dead. That Jesus Christ is at God's right hand is a key theme of Scripture. What does the right hand remind us of and speak to us of in Scripture? It's the right hand speaks of honor and power and authority. In the second sermon there in chapter 3 of Acts, Peter called Jesus the Prince of Life. Here he called him, as we've read just now, a Prince and a Savior. The word Prince means a pioneer, one who leads the way, an originator. The Sanhedrin, of course, were not interested in pioneering anything. All they wanted was to protect their vested interest, to keep things as they were. But as the pioneer of life, Jesus saves us and leads us into exciting experiences as we walk in newness of life. There are always new trails to blaze. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 calls him the pioneer or the captain of their salvation. For our salvation experience, dear friends, this morning can never become static. The Christian life is not a parking space. The Christian life is a launching pad. It's not enough to be born again. We must grow spiritually. Peter says in his epistle in chapter 2, or chapter 3 of the second epistle, verse 18, that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to make progress in our walk. Are you making progress in your Christian walk this morning? Are you just sitting as you were sitting the moment you were saved? You've just remained there. You've never moved on. You've never grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 12 and 2, Jesus is called the pioneer or the author of our faith, which suggests that he leads us into new experiences. Experiences that often test our faith and help us to grow. One of the major themes in the book of Hebrews is that of passing on and pressing on to maturity. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, the apostle there, he said this, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Those words, let us go on. That's what the Christian life is about, going on. Going on. Are you going on this morning with the Lord? We cannot mature unless we follow Christ, the pioneer, into new areas of faith and ministry. He's the pioneer of life, the Prince. But he's also the Savior. And that title, Savior, was not new to the members of the council, for the word was used for physicians who saved people's lives, for philosophers who solve people's problems, for statesmen who save people from danger and war. It was even applied to the emperor. But only Jesus Christ this morning is the true and living Savior. He's the one who rescues from sin and from death and from judgment all who trust in him. And Peter called the people again to repentance. In verse 31 here of chapter 5, what a bold witness this was before the highest Jewish court, religious court. The Spirit of God enabled them. They were not afraid. After all, Jesus had promised to be with them, to empower them for witness and service. He had promised to be with us too, empowering us, enabling us to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Holding the truth
The Bible says, in the words of Paul, holding forth the word of life. And that's the business of the Christian, and that's the business of the church today. And in days to come, we must hold forth the truth. But thirdly, we notice in this passage the hedging of the truth, the avoiding of the truth, verses 33 to 39. Here we have a very scholarly man, a teacher or doctor of the law, verse 34. Paul, remember, was trained by Gamaliel, chapter 22, verse 3 of Acts. But the counsel of this man, Gamaliel, was unwise and dangerous. But God used it to save the apostles from death. That the Sadducees would heed the words of a Pharisee showed how distinguished this man was. In spite of the fact that Gamaliel tried to use cool logic rather than overheated emotions, he was still wrong. For a start, he automatically classified Jesus with two rebels, which means he already rejected the evidence. To him, this Jesus of Nazareth was just another zealous Jew trying to set the nation free from Rome. But did Thaddeus or Judas, whom Gamaliel mentioned, ever do the things that Jesus did? Were they raised from the dead? With a clever twist of bad logic, Gamaliel convinced the council that there was really nothing to worry about. Essentially, he's saying troublemakers come and go, so be patient. And further, Gamaliel assumed that history repeats itself. Thaddeus and Judas rebelled, were subdued, their followers were scattered. Verses 36 to 37. Give these people enough time and they'll disband. You'll never hear anything more of this Jesus of Nazareth. But this is different, my friend. The birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had never happened before, would never happen again. God had broken into history and visited this earth. Gamaliel also had the mistaken idea that if someone or something is not of God, it must fail. But this idea doesn't take into consideration the sinful nature of man and the presence of Satan in this world. In the end, God's truth will be victorious, but meanwhile, Satan can be very strong, and he is. And we are no match for him in our own strength. His influence is among multitudes of people in this world today. Success is no test of truth. False cults often grow faster than God's church. The world is a battlefield on which truth and error are in mortal combat. And often it looks as if truth is on the scaffold and wrong sits arrogantly on the throne. How long should the council wait to see if this movement would survive? What test would they use to determine whether or not it was successful? What is success? No matter how you look at it, the wisdom of Gamaliel was foolish. But the biggest weakness was his motive. You see, Gamaliel encouraged neutrality. When the council was facing a life and death issue that demanded a decision, he's saying, wait and see. It's actually not neutrality at all. It's a definite decision. Gamaliel was voting no, but was preaching, maybe someday. And there are many matters in life, dear friends, that don't demand an immediate decision or decision of conscience. But when we do face a serious matter of conscience, we had better examine the evidence carefully. And this Gamaliel refused to do. He lost an opportunity for salvation because he turned the discussion into a petty discussion about Jewish insurrectionists. Namely, Thaddeus and Judas. But Jesus made it clear in the gospel that we cannot be neutral about his message. We can't sit on the fence. He that is not for me is against me, the Bible says. How long halt ye between two opinions this morning?
Maybe you're in this church this morning, you're a fence sitter like Gamaliel, trying to sit on the fence, trying to be neutral in regard to the gospel. Neutral you cannot be. Among those in hell are the fearful. Revelation 21, verse 8. Are you fearful this morning? Afraid to take your stand on the Lord's side? Afraid to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's Gamaliel with his neutrality. Where are you this morning? There can be no fence sitting. You're either with Christ or you're against him. You're either saved or you're not. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on the road to heaven or you're on the road to hell. The apostles were men of courage. Gamaliel was a coward. He sat on the fence. Which are you this morning? A person of courage or a coward? And I want to finally come this morning to the heralding of the truth. Verses 40 to 42. Part of the council wanted to kill the apostles, verse 33, but Gamaliel's speech tempered their violence. In a compromise move, the council decided to have them beaten, and they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. William Temple said this, that Christians are called to the hardest of all tasks, to fight without hatred, to resist without bitterness, and in the end, if God grant it so, to triumph without vindictiveness. How did the apostles respond to this illegal treatment against them from the nation's religious leaders? Look at verse 41. They rejoiced, the Bible says. Jesus had told them to expect persecution and had instructed them to rejoice in it. He said that in the very Sermon on the Mount. When we're reviled, we're to rejoice. The opposition of man meant the approval of God. It was actually a privilege to suffer for his name. Paul said that. Phillips Brooks indicated that the purpose of life is to glorify God by the building of character through truth. The building of character through truth. The Sanhedrin thought they had won a great victory when actually the council had experienced a crushing defeat. You see, the devil always oversteps himself. No doubt they congratulated each other for doing such a good job in defending the faith as they saw it. But it was the apostles who were the winners because they grew in godliness as they yielded to God's will, as they suffered for their master. Peter later in his first epistle would have much to say about suffering, the suffering of a Christian. The suffering in the life of the believer. And friend, I commend those passages in Peter to you because there are times of suffering for the believer. Now he was learning the lessons here about that. That's why he was able to write as he did later on, because he'd learned the lessons here. Neither the threats nor the beatings stopped them from witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. If anything, this persecution only made them trust God more and seek greater power in their ministry. You see, my friend, true believers are not quitters. The apostles had a commission to fulfill, and they intended to continue as the Lord enabled them, as long as He enabled them. In verse 42 summarizes the apostolic pattern for evangelism. What an excellent pattern it is to follow. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. To begin with, they witnessed daily. That meant they took advantage of witnessing no matter where they were. No matter where they were. I was in a situation this week where I was brought into contact with a Roman Catholic man. A man who originally came from this area. And he began to talk to me when he asked me what I did and where I was ministering then.
I told him I was ministering in Ballygowan. He says, oh, I come from Ballygowan. I got an opportunity of witnessing to him, inviting him to the gospel mission coming up. They said he would come and pray that he will come. You see, we have to redeem the time, men and women. Paul spoke about this when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And every Christian is a witness, either a good one or a bad one, and our witness either draws others to Christ or drives them away. What a good practice it is to start each day asking the Lord for the wisdom and grace needed to be a loving witness for Christ that day. Don't be harsh with people. That will drive them away. Don't be hard with people. That will drive them away from Christ. I was in a situation this week where somebody was very hostile when I brought up the gospel to them. And I sought to diffuse the situation, to bring it round in a different way. And eventually the person said, I can see your point. And he listened to me as I gave him the gospel of Christ. You see, sometimes we go in with all guns blazing and we just make the situation worse. And we can drive people away from the Lord. D.L. Moody was fearless in his witness for Christ and sought to speak about spiritual matters to at least one soul each day. Like this, he would have spoke and asked the question, how does your soul prosper today? Do you love the Lord? Do you belong to Christ? Some people were offended, of course, at his manner. But not a few were led to Christ then and there. He said, the more we use the means and the opportunities we have, the more will our ability and our opportunities be increased. He also said, I live for souls and for eternity. I want to win some soul for Christ. Is that so with you this morning? Do you live for souls, Christian? Do you live for eternity? Or do you live for the workplace? Do you live for the material things of this world? Do you live for the things of time? He was not only satisfied, D.L. Moody, that is, to address great crowds, and he also felt constrained to speak to people personally and urge them to trust in Jesus Christ. And there are people today, and they say, I'm reformed. I'm a reformed believer. I'm so reformed. Well, I'm reformed, and I'm no difficulty in saying I'm reformed this morning. But my friend, there's a burden in my heart to reach souls for Christ. There's a burning passion in my heart to win people for Christ. We must never lose that. These believers witnessed in the temple. After all, that was where the religious people were gathered. That's where Paul went right after his conversion. He went into the temple and he spoke. He preached Christ in the synagogue. And he was the Son of God, Acts chapter 9. The apostles sought to work among the religious people, and they weren't compromising. They were buying up every opportunity to reach more people for Christ. And in every house, the Bible says here, these people had no buildings in those days that were set aside for worship and fellowship. Believers in those times would meet in various homes, worshiping the Lord, listening to teaching, seeking to win the lost for Christ. The early church took the word right into the homes, the people. Their ministry went on without ceasing. They ceased not. They were always at this work. They kept it up as long as the Lord gave them opportunities. And the witness of this church included teaching and preaching. The word there, preach, is our English word evangelize. This is the first of 15 times it's used in the Acts of the Apostles. It simply means to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what the church must do. And that's what we must ever be engaged in our outreach works and whatever we're doing, reaching out to sinners. And finally, it was Jesus Christ who was the center of their witness. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. On the occasion of the anniversary of a pastor, many spoke very fluently and very fully about the blessings they'd received through his ministry. The man became more and more embarrassed as the meeting progressed until he whispered into the ear of the closing speaker, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Oh, my friend, it's not about me. It's not about the preacher. It's about Jesus. It's about my Savior. If I die today, friend, forget all about me. Put me in the grave. But don't forget about Jesus. Don't forget about my Savior. Tell them about Jesus. That's what I want to be remembered for, friend. That I've told people about Jesus. Jesus didn't commit the gospel to an advertising agency. He commissioned disciples. And that commission still stands this morning. In your life, is it commission or omission? Is it commission or omission? What is it this morning? May God challenge our hearts to be those that herald the truth of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word to our hearts this morning. We pray that, O God, we may receive the word. And Lord, it might be hidden in our hearts, lest we should sin against thee. We pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. Returning in our hymn books to our final hymn, 562. 562. And let's stand as we sing this hymn together this morning as we conclude. The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the call to arms is heard afar and near, the Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. 562, and we'll stand as we sing together.
The Christ will soon appear. The Christ.
the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tonight, tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away, and then forevermore. Amen.